Okay, I'd like to call this Audit Committee meeting to order and acknowledge that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. So first, we need an approval of the agenda as circulated. Councillor Greig, seconder. Councillor Haysom, all those in favor? Motion passed unanimously. Oh, Mayor Bulliver-Getson?
Yes.
Sorry about that. I'm looking for an approval of the minutes for September the 14th. Councillor Oikle, seconder. Councillor DeLong, thank you. All those in favor? Councillor Dutton? Councillor Bulliver? Sorry, Mayor Bulliver-Getson?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Motion passed unanimously. That was a bad one. Okay, so we have Michael Beliveau with us today. So I will pass it over to you.
Perfect. Thank you for having us here today. I'm Michael Beliveau, partner at Beliveau Vino, and one of the senior partners on the audit. Unfortunately, Michelle Laird, who would be the senior manager on the audit, she couldn't make it today. And then we'd also have Austin Lee, one of our student CPAs, who will also be working on the audit. So for the current year, the audit fee will be $22,000, and it'll be the first year of a six-year quote. We expect to do our field work from the week of July 18th. And it will probably go into the next week. So we're here generally 5 to 8 days we spend at the on-site, and then we do some work at our office, review the file, et cetera. And then we would expect to have everything probably completed by the end of August would be the goal, which would set us up for a meeting in September to approve the financial statements. So a couple things to go over. We kind of go over them each year, but it's just a matter of checking some of the boxes. But one of the main things within our audit approach is this idea of materiality. So when we're auditing, we use materiality to determine the amount of work we're doing. What materiality means is what number would impact the decision-making of a user of the financial statements. So just for an example, if you're looking at a company that maybe has $10,000 in sales and $10,000 in debt, clearly, the materiality for that one would be different than someone dealing with $100 million of sales or debt, because what's going to impact the users is significantly different than what that number would be. So that's kind of the approach we take when you read your audit report at the end of the day. It refers to the financial statements being materially correct. So that's what that kind of approach and what that number means. Within the audit committee itself, just to reiterate that you have full access to the auditors. So if you ever have any questions or concerns or anything, please feel free to contact myself or anybody at our firm. We're happy to meet and chat and provide any information that we have that would be of use to you. So our audit approach, we use a risk-based approach. So we look at the financial statements as a whole and say, where would there be likely to be misstatements? Generally, a project, the Lehave River Strait Pipe Project, has been a project ongoing for the last several years. Due to the complex nature of the transactions going through the financial statements, that's been an area of focus each year for us. I think in the current year that we're in, this year will be the final year for that. Correct. Yeah.
Construction.
Yeah. And when you compare that to, more simpler things such as your deed transfer tax. So deed transfer tax is essentially on the sale of the property, there's deed transfer tax remitted. It's remitted to the province, and then the province pays you the money. So it's kind of a third party that's dealing with that exclusively. So there's not a lot of risk there from our perspective, because the money's not really ever touching you. It's just straight coming there from a third party. So that would be kind of when you're looking at different areas of risks. Also, anything that has estimates is an area we like to look at. Generally, what we want is proof and evidence of why the estimate is what it is. An example there would be a payroll accrual at year end. So the payroll accrual at year end is if you have a straddling of your pay period. So if the pay period ends on the third day of the following month, we would take a look at that. The director of finance would have it set up essentially based on the payroll. And, you know, simplest form would be if you're paid over 14 days and there's three extra days, we would do the math to come up with, yes, that estimate is reasonable. The other high area of risk, and it's not so much here, but anytime cash is being dealt with is a significant risk from an auditor perspective, because cash really can't be tracked at the end of the day. You know, using examples would be, you know, if cash is received and a donation receipt is issued, there's not really a way to confirm that that cash came from John Smith to receive that receipt, because there can't be a record of it. It'd be different if there was a Visa or an actual check written. You could see the check came from John Smith. So those are, you know, kind of just giving you an idea of the different risks that we look at and consider throughout the audit. Also, in the current year, and some of it might be subsequent to the year end we're dealing with, there was some people working in new positions, whether it's at the counter or within the finance department. That's a good opportunity for you as an organization to have, you know, fresh eyes and a new look at how you're doing things, but it also gives us the opportunity as an auditor to sit with that person, go over and document the details of the procedures that they follow, which is always nice. In the current year, you do have the option of early adopting the asset retirement obligation, which is a new accounting standard. It'll be a requirement in the year end starting April 1st of 2022 to adopt, but there is an early adoption ability to it. What it means is it's a new way of accounting for those obligations that you may have when you're retiring an asset. So if you have a building, for example, that you know has asbestos in it, you know at the time of sale that there's going to be a cost to the organization to clean that up, we would actually set that cost up as an additional cost of that asset. So if the building was worth $100,000, cost $100,000 on the books, and it was going to cost $20,000 to clean up asbestos, then we would show a cost of $120,000 on the books, and there would be an offsetting liability. And then so you would amortize that over the life of the expected life of the building and when you would end up selling it. So that might be something new that you would see in the financial statements. From an audit perspective, it would be, you know, getting into that estimate piece. It would be work on our end. Generally, the majority of the work on those scenarios would be performed by engineers of some sort to come up with the cost estimates at that time. In the prior year internal control letter, we did bring to light the U.S. dollar bank account and the lack of procedures regarding acceptance of U.S. currency for payments for property taxes or other bills. At that time, management's response in the internal control letter was that a new procedure and policy has been put in place. So where it was in last year's letter, that will be something we'll look at just to confirm that the policy is being followed, and that we can essentially take that out of our letter this year, and that we've checked that box off and the policy's been approved. In the management letter also, we brought forth the idea of cyber insurance and a recommendation that council explore cyber insurance and look at that avenue. My understanding, based on conversations with the Director of Finance, is that's been completed by council, so thank you. That's really all I have, but I do want to open the floor to the committee or council with any questions or concerns or pieces that you feel as councillors might be a focus for the auditor in this year's audit. We'd be happy to hear it. Thank you.
Councillor DeLong, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just have two areas in which I'm curious. How often are we dealing with cash here? Is it something that requires more tracking, or is it something that we don't come up against very often?
Through the chair, if I can answer that, certainly. We take cash in every day,
okay,
and it could be thousands of dollars. The controls we have in place with cash, if someone pays their tax bill with cash, we issue receipt for that, and it gets deposited in the bank, and we make sure that the receipts and the deposits match what goes into the bank. If our other control is that we issue statements, And so the person who issues statements is not the same person who takes the cash. So if someone had taken cash and reversed a receipt, for example, then a statement would go out to a customer. And then we get the call, like, I paid my bill, here's my receipt. So that hasn't happened yet, but that's one of the controls we have in place for cash. Yeah, we did put some new processes in for reversing payments, too, to make sure that it was always looked at by someone in a, you know, more authority, like our lead person in the counter staff. So there are some, you know, more policies and procedures we're putting in place as we move forward with the single entry counter system.
May I ask a second question, or
go ahead.
Did you have anybody else on the
no,
list?
Go ahead.
Cyber sounds like a whole big monster behemoth on its own. What are we looking at implementing there in terms of our cyber insurance, and what are we? Can you just give me a bit more background on that?
Certainly. We actually, I think we brought this to council. Our cyber insurance, the MGSB, went through and got some quotes. So we went with our insurance company, BFL. And so the MGSB got cyber insurance for hacking and those kinds of things, and insurance against losses if someone was phished and clicked on a link erroneously. And we also have insurance ourselves. So we purchased it last month. So we do have that in place so that if we were hacked or someone held us to ransomware, something like that, we have insurance in place for that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Nothing? Okay, so are you going to add to this, Elena? Do you have something to top up, or?
I do not.
Okay.
You know, management just cooperates with the auditors and gives them all the information that they require, and hopefully things will go well.
Okay, so we don't need an in-camera, correct? Okay. So before I ask for adjournment, I do want to mention Deputy Mayor Moore sent her regrets today. So now, motion to adjourn. Councillor Wynott, seconder. Councillor Vino, Mayor Bellaberg, all those in favor? Mayor Bellaberg-Getson?
Yes.
Awesome. Meeting is adjourned.